Our Heavenly Father and our God, we thank Thee that Thou art our Creator, that You have given us Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one that we are to speak of, to give the gospel message to the world. Please be with us today, Father, and I pray that the Holy Spirit is with the word for the day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, God has spoken. And what a God that man has the privilege to know and to know about by various means, especially the Holy Scriptures, by His Word. We know that He is a self-revealing God. And we know that the main source of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But He has also spoken of by what He has made. He speaks along with the Holy Spirit, through man inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaks through the spirit of prophecy, and He will speak again face to face with each of us. And if you would turn to Hebrews 1:1-3 again, our scripture reading for today. Hebrews chapter 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who be in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, in upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged out sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by uttering inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ coming to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. We know that we are not there at that time that our Lord came the first time, so we have to take it by faith. All the things that happened that we read in the Word of God. Not that. But one day, face to face with our Savior, what a promise, what a privilege that we are going to have. Presented to the Father by the Redeemer at His second coming. We know that He has spoken through on the basis of His revelations given to us and through various channels that He has used. And all of these channels require faith. We've been talking about faith in our Sabbath school lessons. Continue with that this morning there. You know, and He offers sufficient evidence for that faith that we can have in Him and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has not overwhelmingly compelling evidence of Himself, I shall say, yet. There is still a possibility for doubt that He has not yet removed. And many of us during different times of our lives may have doubt, may question God, but He's asked us to question Him. But we know that we can have the right answer if we do. It still takes an active, conscious choice on our part to believe. I pray this morning that each of us have that active, conscious choice. We know that Gethsemane and Calvary had a strong appeal, but doubt still lingers, even today. Many of the people that saw Christ on the cross rejected Him, but they had already made up their mind before it happened. They saw His helplessness on the cross and even said, if you turn to Matthew 27, chapter 27, we've read this many times too, verses 39 through 43, where Jesus was reviled. Matthew 27, 39 through 43. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou hast destroyed the temple and buildest up in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him, where the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. We know that Christ did reveal himself to the people of that day, especially the leaders. And we can also read that about it in Mark 15:29-32 and Luke 23:35-37. But what if Christ had come down from the cross at that time? Would they have believed him? They didn't believe his miracles that he had already done. Even the raising of Lazarus, which was truly a miracle. The only true evidence that we can see and find is in the self-revealing evidence that God gives to each and every one of us through his word. The devils have believed exactly who he was and who God was, but it was not, did not bring love. And we're told that the opportunity to choose will not be with us forever. One day the faith of the believers will turn into sight, and the unbelief of doers, of doubters, will turn into faith in sight by sight. We know that since Eden that we came farther and farther away from Eden. And in one sense, that should make our faith greater, to have greater faith as we do distance ourselves from Eden. I think that we can believe as Adam and Eve did, remembering the face-to-face contact that they had with God and with angels. And they more than likely told that to their children through the generations of that time. But probably even by the days of Enoch, they probably didn't believe if those stories were true or not. And we can be that way sometimes ourselves today. We can read something in the Word of God, and by time, we forget it. It hasn't made that real stamp on our minds. So we know that Enoch walked with God himself. God took him, and he is with him, presumably face to face. That we also were that. Enoch's translation was a pledge by God of an advanced payment on the promises that he had given to the early prophets, the early people that were watching for the promised seed to come. We pray that we are still watching for that seed to come the second time. We know that faith is a very vital ingredient that we need in our lives. And it's a choice for our submission to God's word and what God wants of us, along with the confidence that he is who he says he is. As he told Moses to tell him that I am the I am. We know that we can have many different names for God, but we know that God is our creator. And through knowing that, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. But we know that we have limited knowledge, and we can't explain everything. There's a host of things of how God has dealt with anything and with everything. And many of the things are not revealed to us yet by God himself. But one day we will understand. We will know these things. But yet the days are fast approaching, and we see them even today. You know, the ills, the permitted wrongs that are going, the mystery of sorrow, will be made plain, but yet it's not the time. God has not revealed that today. Now is the opportunity for each one of us to develop our faith in the Word of God, to trust and obey, not having all of the answers. And there's some things that we will never know. Without having all the things and the wherefores explained to us, without seeing the justice that is going to come. God's overwhelming providence will soon be seen, and it will be the best. You know, I guess I sent for it, but I recently received a health book talking about the offers of that I could receive and better my health. This one for that problem, this one for that problem. But the only thing I had to do was purchase the pills or the powder to do it. But looking at the prices, it's going to break me. If I got them off, whether they would work or not, they worked again, I'd be perfect. I wouldn't have a problem in the world if all these things that do it, you know. But there's other offers by the mails, and mentioned it this morning there, you know, of by television, offer a person that untold wealth and power. And I did mention that example of that packet of water. Take that water, and you're going to get a job, or you're going to get a check in the mail, or wealth for things that are going to be good for you just by receiving that little packet of water. And that offers are probably saying, people will do what I want them to do without knowing me or knowing why. It will bring me wealth and even count it as a privilege. And that is true. That's happened to many people today. And it has made a lot of people rich. And it sounds like the echo of the one who said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. And the devil, even today, is offering men kingdoms of this world if they'll only bow down to him. We pray that we're not doing that. But then there is other self-revelations of God, especially his knowledge at the end from the beginning, and the accuracy of the predictive prophecies that have been told and have come true. And it's not always to interpret prophecy, especially when the conditional factors have to be included. But we do have the sure word of prophecy to go by. When our Sunday laws come, when the pestilence and the famine and earthquakes devastate the great cities of the earth, will Adventists succeed in making a fast preparation for the latter rain? Might it be too late by then? We have to be working towards that now today. We can't wait. We're to heed the signals that are given to us now daily in the Word of God and in life itself as we see these things happening. And we are to look at the prophecies already fulfilled to know the true Word of God today. Belief. Each one of us, do we have that belief? Do we believe? What if somebody found Noah's Ark? What if the Ark of the Covenant was revealed? Or was shown that the earth is only 6,000 years old? What would that do to man's faith? We probably already know that. But the devil is going to point himself as a healer and a benefactor of the world. And what things would that do? What would that transpire? Would many modern rulers get to say, that's enough, I believe it all now. I'm ready to prepare myself for Christ's kingdom. They probably would not, because that would fade again over time. And they would turn back. We know that belief is simply only for those who, like little children, believe, trust, and obey in the Word of God, to trust what the Word says. All the Bible is true. And he has asked us to believe. And that should be enough. That should be enough for us to put our complete trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks us by various channels and revelations of his self-revealing self, including the witness of the Holy Spirit, who speaks us and seals us. The present-day faith in Jesus and the Christians' witnessing still causes some questions that each one of us may have. Some are told that if they accept Jesus, all their troubles are going to be gone. Some promise health, wealth, and even wisdom. All the wisdom that we get through the Word of God itself should be sufficient. But it doesn't truly give us the picture of God and who he is. We can picture the resurrected Lazarus next to the beheaded John the Baptist. Enoch standing next to the stoned to death Stephen. Translated Elijah with the crucified Peter. Many of these things we can't understand. Putting them together like that to know that our God is a God of love. That his concern is for our safety and for us being with him for eternity. Today, here and now, we have that claim of joy, peace, glory, security, perfect health, and infinite knowledge of the hereafter. And that's a problem that each and every one of God's children can have. The war of sin is not over. It won't be until the Lord stands up and says it is finished. And then it still will take another 1,000 years before sin is completely eradicated from our lives. And we still live in the flesh today. He's not yet destroyed the devil and his supporters, for it is not time yet. And our inherited tendencies towards evil are with us even today. They dominate each and every one of our lives. But we have to be careful that we are true obedience to the law of God. We can't not take off the armor of our welfare at any time, at any moment, for we know that Satan is unsleeping and he's relentless in pursuing each and every one of us to get us to turn. But we can be thankful that our God does not slumber or sleep. The gates of pearl have not swung open yet for us, but it will soon happen for each and every one of us. Which gate we will go through, we don't know. Which tribe we're going to belong to, we don't know. But those pearly gates are going to open for each and every one of us. And it is still nearly time. We make our choice every day, every hour, every moment of our lives until our Lord Jesus comes. And it is a decision. The best preceded by the worst is yet to come. And it still leaves doubt. We still have doubt. But we still have enough evidence to believe, to truly believe the Word of God. And I pray that each one of us does, even with our questions that we have, to believe. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Redeemer, the promise of his coming, and that one day soon we're going to be with him. To walk in the cool of an evening in the fields made new. Oh, what a privilege that we're going to have to do that. When does heaven begin? We are told it begins now and here, right now. And if from Desire of Ages, pages 331, 332. As through Jesus, we enter into rest. Heaven begins here. We respond to his invitation. Come, learn of me. And in this coming, we begin the life eternal. Heaven is a ceaseless approaching to God through Christ. The longer we are in heaven, in the heaven of bliss, the more and still more glory will be open to us. And the more we know of God, the more intense will be our happiness as we walk with Jesus in this life. We may be filled with his love, satisfied with his presence. All that human nature can bear, we may receive here. But what is that compared to the hereafter of being with the Lord Jesus Christ, being with our God? And as I said, do we do that? What shall we do while we wait to communicate face to face with our God? Let's look at the counsel of Paul in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you any evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What shall we do while we wait? Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we know that we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. In that time of need to talk about there, we don't truly know what these times of need are. The real idea of what they will be to us. But all that is to come in this world, we know that we need to have that counsel from heaven, to heed that counsel that's given to us and to us to know that. To be able to call upon our God. To endure these times and needs that are coming upon us. And we each and every one of us are going to have that. We're going to have our times of need. But God has given us a prescription for that, to help us to endure these, to face the coming trouble that we're going to have. But maybe have we heard the prescription so often that promise is inadequate for us anymore, that we may already be taking that divine medicine. I pray that we're not. I pray that each one of us has not reached that point. For God has given us the prescription through the Holy Scriptures. To have an unbelievably glorious destiny that awaits each and every one of us. If we are true to faith, true to our God. That we may triumph over the beast in his image, in his mark. Just like before the days of the flood, many of God's people are not going to have to pass through this time of need, time of trouble. They're going to fall asleep in Jesus before that happens. But the great question for each and every one of us today, am I abiding in the vine? I pray that each one of us can say yes to that. And whether we sleep in Christ, or we are preserved without seeing death. We can truly trust in Christ as our Savior. as he lives within each and every one of us. We are the temple of the living God, and had that Holy Spirit living and guiding and directing us. But whichever way, one day, face to face, the privilege of face to face and acquaintance with our Lord, with our God. And then we will continue our education of the plan of redemption that will never be exhausted. We will always be learning, always be studying of what God or what Jesus has accomplished for each and every one of us, for the human race. The unlimited resources, the other limited time that we are going to be with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that's for each and every one of us, that one day we will see God face to face. We can say amen to that. Yes, our Heavenly Father, our God, we thank thee for the surety of your word. We pray, Father, that as we know that the human arm of Christ is around the fallen race, and his divine arm grasps hold of the throne of the infinite one, that we are brought into him forever, that we will be with thee forever and ever. Oh, thank you for that surety, Father. Thank you that our Father in heaven, and that one day in your presence, we pray and ask these things as we leave this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen.